I emailed you the directions. Did you get my email? No, I emailed it yesterday. I think it was around like 2 or something.
I did.
Because we never learned it.
Yeah, I don't know if it was false. I didn't remember that at all. So I just felt false.
Well, I remember that when you asked us to watch the Secret of Oz video, I think even in the Money is Dip video, that was discussed, and I think I remember us talking about that in class, but I don't know now. Yes?
I think the questions themselves were easy, but the answers that we were expected to give were hard. We had to go into a lot of detail with our answers for relatively simple questions.
Night test, but first I was going to say that it was halfway between. It wasn't exactly easy, but it wasn't that really hard for your question about the feedback.
Yes, I was, because for the questions, I was expecting us to just have to answer it just a straight answer, but when I got the feedback that I was supposed to go into like more detail or add more things to it, that kind of surprised me.
I was agreeing with Luna.
What?
No. Because I forgot to save while I was working on my paper, so I only have the three pages. I was doing mine, and I was doing pretty well on it, but I forgot to save on it, so now I only have 3 slides. I don't have them.
We can't. No. It has something to do with my mom. What did you say? Yeah. My mom wants, I don't know exactly what she wants, but she wants us together, or, no, she's not. I don't know. Yes, I have it, but did you see what I said up in the text chat about the connection? I was working with the test and the PowerPoint outline and the notes when the computer started saying stuff about something wasn't connected and the connection wasn't working, and I had tried to get back on, so it had halted my progress with them and getting them up. Yes. Okay.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Let me hook up some headphones real quick because Nina's about to talk.
Link, because I edited it a little bit, so try refreshing it.
Okay.
Okay, do you see?
I
think you might have to go first because Blue is going first over there and he'll be in the background over here, so do you mind going first?
Okay, yeah, let me repost my link because it's not showing all the changes I made, so I'm going to get it back.
Okay.
Just give me a quick second.
All right, now open the link right there. All right, so let's get presenting. Actually, wait, Baldwin Castle, are you here? Okay, because I remember you saying that if I had the slides, like, automatically change and everything, I got the timing right, that I didn't even have to, like, talk. Was that was right? Because I had that in my notes. Okay.
I'm on the page.
Okay. Ballcast, your mic is on.
Okay, my mic is off, Abdullah.
Okay. I'm trying to open it from here. I'm waiting for mine to open. Just hold on. Okay. All right. So this is my presentation about the economic conundrums class. As you can see, I use SlideRock instead of PowerPoint because I can do more stuff on this. Okay, so for the first slide, what is the economic conundrum? Even though the class is called Economic Conundrums, I had to find out why it was called Economic Conundrums. So then I had to split it up with the help of Bawa Kessa. I split up the two words, which the two main words was economy. The first one was economy. And the definition of economy is the economy is the system of exchange. So it doesn't even have to be like money to goods. It can just be like, I give you a brick for some food. So then I had to find out what the definition of conundrum was. And a conundrum is a puzzle or like a paradoxical and difficult problem. And once we begin to actually like study the systems of exchange, we can see that there are different, you know, economic systems. And once we begin to actually figure out these different systems, it seems that the puzzle becomes even larger and more complicated. So we found out that the economy is the puzzle or a conundrum in a particular exchange of money that often causes problems for our people. So that's what this class is about. Our job is to solve this problem and create a solution, and also try to create an exchange that will actually help instead of hinder. What did I learn about the economic conundrum? I actually learned about lending fraud and the predatory lending and the role it played in the horrible financial crisis of 2008. I learned about the bank fight that Andrew Jackson had got in with the second bank and Nicholas Biddle. And I also learned about programs like the Justice at Home, which is ran by Mama Fia and Bawa Kessa, to help fight these predatory lenders and banks, or banksters, if you like to say. And I also learned about fiat money and the economic independence that it brings. Okay, so the first one I'm going to get into is the lending fraud. So legally, first you need to understand like what has to happen before you even get a loan, let's say for a house. That's what we're going to be mainly dealing with. So to legally give a loan for a house, you have to have good credit, and they're supposed to actually check if you have a steady income that can actually support the loan that you are asking for. So they'll make sure that you can pay back the loan, plus interest also. And but it seems that the lending banks and the loan companies have ignored this, and they gave loans to whoever, even if they couldn't even pay them back. So then the people who received these loans defaulted on these loans because they couldn't pay them back. And defaulted basically means just to stop paying it altogether, just to stop. And defaulting does damage your credit score, but it's supposed to be kind of like a stand, like, you know, I don't have to pay this if I don't want to, basically. People who are underwater also defaulted on loans, and underwater is a term used for homeowners who actually owe more than their house is worth. So for example, if you bought the house for $100,000 and it's worth $100,000, but you can end up paying $300,000 because of all the loans and interest and stuff from predatory lenders. So the banks and loan companies began to start going into debt because of all the defaults, and the banks gave out more money than that could be paid back. They began to punish the homeowners by charging higher interest rates that they couldn't pay, and then they started taking away the homes of the people who defaulted. And people who were underwater also got their homes taken away. And that is why we have programs such as the Justice at Home program. The Justice at Home program is run by Wakasa and Afia Mazamoyo, Baba Wakasa and Mama Afia Mazamoyo, who they fight predatory lenders, lending companies, and banks. The Justice at Home program is no joke, because they are actually fighting some of these big companies, these big well-known companies such as J.P. Morgan Chase and GMAC. The Justice at Home fights against the banks reminds me of the fight that Andrew Jackson had got in for Andrew Jackson got in to with the banks, but even though they were for slightly different reasons, Andrew Jackson was more fighting for economic independence, while the Justice at Home program is trying to stop predatory lending and unfair foreclosures, or taking people's homes away. Andrew Jackson was fighting for economic independence, like I said before. Yes. And the second Bank of the United States was controlling the country's currency during the Andrew Jackson term of presidency. It was from 1828 to 1836. And Jackson wanted economic independence from the second bank. Andrew Jackson in 1832 ordered the withdrawal of government deposits from the second bank and instead had them put into safe banks. But the second bank leader, which was Nicholas Biddle, was in support of the power of the bank, and he believed that they had a clear intention, and he actually threatened to actually cause a depression. And this is what Andrew Jackson wanted to fight, was the power that the banks had, because they could just, Andrew Jackson did realize that, yeah, they could just cause a depression because they had power over their economy and their money like that. And that's what Andrew Jackson was trying to get away from. Nicholas Biddle, I actually quoted Nicholas Biddle and what he said about Andrew Jackson trying to take away the power of the bank. He was basically saying that widespread suffering will spread across the country in Congress, and they thought that the bank would their control is good because they have restrictions on how much cash goes out and comes in, and they feel that if the government had government-run money or fiat money, which we'll get to later, then it would just basically be a free-for-all. And Nicholas Biddle in 1836 did cause a depression, but in 1836 their charter ran out and the second bank basically dissolved.
Are you done?
Andrew Jackson was asked about his greatest accomplishment in his presidency, and he answered, basically, I killed the bank. And I don't have who actually asked that question, but I know it was after, of course, his presidency. And besides simply fighting the banks, fiat money is also a way to gain financial independence. And we can take the example. First, let me explain what fiat money is. Fiat money is a money that has value only because of government and regulation or law. So basically, instead of being gold-backed or silver-backed or the banks in basically controlling the inflation and deflation of the currency, you can basically control, or like a certain city or a certain portion of the country can actually control all of that, the depression, the deflation, inflation, the value, all of that. Example is like in Ithaca, New York, and their Ithaca hours. They're basically just backed by how many hours you work. So if you work like, and 1 hour is actually, 1 hour is actually worth $10, but you basically get hours for, I believe you get hours for each hour that you work. So if you work 10 hours, you get 10 Ithaca hours. And this also helps like people who before like either jobless or they have a profession but they can't find a job, that, or they have a job that is, I don't know, I guess, depreciated over the years in Ithaca, they'll have a place for you. So basically, you could just go there and work for these hours, and you can go buy stuff. It's basically like it is its own economy, the Ithaca, New York example. And I believe, yeah, that's it.
Okay. So I liked your information. I liked how you covered basically most of the important topics that we discussed in class. Some things that I would do differently. In terms of presentation, I probably wouldn't have stopped so much. It kind of dragged out. I also would have had a conclusion and maybe not presented so much as this is what I learned, but like as fact. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. But I was just basically, I had an idea of,
Abdullah, I know what you're working under with your NEMA, so you can type your responses back to Safiya if she needs you to kind of, you know, be quiet while she's presenting.
American dollars. It never leaves the community because all you can do with it is spend it, and you can only spend it at stores that allow for you to use that currency, and those stores are only in Ithaca, so all that money stays in Ithaca, New York. The hours are distributed throughout the community. They have to collect a membership fee to get a membership to use it for the hours, and then they get to spend them. Next, slide 4, there was also a community currency battle with the Revolutionary War. It wasn't only about the tea taxes or everything like that. It was actually a fight to maintain continental currency because the British that were occupying America at the time, too, they started to create their own money, and the Revolutionary War was also a fight over that. Slide 5 is some historical financial struggle, starting with the struggle of Andrew Jackson. Okay, on slide 6 is what Andrew Jackson said was controlling our currency, receiving our public monies, and holding thousands of our citizens independent would be more formidable and dangerous than the military power of the enemy. And in this, what he's basically saying is that citizens weren't getting what they earned, and the government was taking a lot more than their share. Andrew Jackson, he was also saying that they need to keep more of their money, if not all of their money, at home with their citizens instead of lending it out internationally be headed by foreigners. And they said that if they control their money, he said that if they control their money in their country and the citizens are independent, it will be more dangerous than a military power. On slide 7 right here is a picture of Nick Biddle. This was Andrew Jackson's primary opposition in his fight. In 1832, Andrew Jackson withdrew the government deposit from the Second Bank. And because they didn't have the U.S.'s money in their bank, Nicholas Biddle, who was the head of the Second Bank, threatened to cause a depression. And in 1836, he actually did start the depression. And because they ran out of charter money, the Second Bank ceased to function. Slide 8, this is the second historical financial struggle, which was President Lincoln and his greenback. On slide 9, this is the primary thought view, I guess, of the banks of that time, which was depression and war is good for the lenders. And this is because the more they have to be dependent on money or the government for money, then they have to keep asking for money in the depression. Because of the depression and the war, and the bank gets more power over them. Okay. Lincoln and Greenback, okay. Because of the Civil War, he was low on money, and he didn't have that much to prepare for the Civil War, like for supplies and to pay the soldiers and everything. So in 1861, he applied for loans from the
money. And that over the last half century, the rich Americans have put federal income taxes on everyone else. Today, top earners pay 85% of tax compared to over 90% in the 1960s. And one of the big problems is that they use more loopholes than poor people to evade paying taxes. The rich Americans have dramatically lowered their income tax burden since 1945. rich people pay lower taxes, and this is how they are able to maintain their riches over time. That when the taxes go down, their share of the national income rises. And because they have more money, rich people can influence politicians to get them lower taxes, and then they tend to send a lot more jobs overseas, and that makes fewer jobs in the United States, and they ultimately damage the condition of our economy. World Savings Bank is a bank in California and is one of the industry's admired mortgage lenders. Their practices were leading to a world of struggle, according to Paul Bishop. World Savings was giving out loans to people who didn't qualify, and Paul Bishop was fired for telling executives what they didn't want to hear, that they were wrong. Herb Sandler started working at World Savings and started a center for responsible lending for low-income borrowers. They then sold their bank to Wachovia for about $2.3 billion. He disliked the fact that they were trained to scam, and on average 80 to 100 loans were given a day. One of the last things we learned about were the Ithaca Hours, and it's a local form of currency in Ithaca, New York. The idea of Ithaca Hours was a way for people to bring more money into their lives, doing things that they like to do. They distributed the hours by collecting a membership fee of $10. It was legal in the U.S. Businesses put in money to get listed. They have about 130,000 in circulation. President Andrew Jackson and the bank. If the American people only understood the rank injustice of our money and banking system, it would be a revolution before morning. That was a quote Andrew Jackson said himself, and Andrew Jackson is responsible for killing the bank. In 1832, Andrew Jackson withdrew the government deposit from Second Bank and put them into State Bank. This was considered Andrew Jackson's greatest achievement. Nicholas Biddle, the head of Second Bank, threatened to cause a depression after Andrew Jackson removed the money. He eventually did in 1836 by calling in existing loans and not issuing new loans. While the banks were fighting, African people were rebelling. The Black Somali Captive Rebellion. From 1835 to 1838 in Florida, the Black Somalis, the African allies of Seminole Indians, led the largest rebellion in U.S. history. The uprising peaked in 1836 when hundreds of captives fled their plantations to join the rebel forces in the Second Somalian War. For over 150 years, American scholars have failed to recognize the true size and scope of the 1835 to 1838 rebellion, the Nat Turner Rebellion. Although the rebellion only lasted 36 hours, it was one of the more brutal rebellions, resulting in the death of more than 50 European captive owners. The rebellion began August 21st, 1831, in Virginia after many setbacks. He had a small army that was successful. They spared no one, saving men, women, and children. Current fights we are fighting. Justice at home, which is a fight to stop predatory lending and foreclosures. To conclude, the course Economic Conundrum has covered a lot of subtopics and information all pertinent to forward movement. The end.
Okay, it was cool. You gave a lot of good information. I like that you actually related it. I had actually forgot about that, relating it back to what the captives were doing And it's not Seminole, it's Seminole. And what else? You had some good pictures on there, except on the pages where you actually had text, and only text, it was like a little dry. So I would try, even though it is really time consuming, but I would try to at least find a picture that has to do with the subject that is being discussed on the page for each page, to avoid it being, kind of bland. Like I said before, information was good. The only thing is the flow of it was a little choppy for me, except when you had, I liked the part when you were saying while the banks were fighting, Africans were rebelling. That was a good transition. But for everything else, it just seemed like you were just, I don't know, kind of just throwing out topics and you weren't tying it all together. Let me see. There was something else I had marked. Wait 1 second. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that was it.
All right. Let's go back into the economic conundrum. All of us, please. Thank you. Everybody back into the economic conundrum, please. Okay. First, give me some feedback. How was that? Both, how was it presenting? How was it giving and receiving feedback? Any ahas, thoughts?
It was cool. I mean, I guess, yeah, it was good. I thought that we were going to be presenting to you, so I guess presenting to another student, that was a change up. I just wish that I could have been a little more creative with my presentation, because I was just scared that I would be, I guess, penalized for making an effort to be creative. And I didn't want to stray too far from the main points and end up getting penalized for it, so I had to, like, kind of stick to the script. But, yeah, it was pretty good.
Well, see, creative doesn't mean you have to stray from the point, okay? And this is something that you need to get. I heard you, say that in response to your feedback from Safia. And so I just want you to watch what you just said. For you, creative would mean, moving from the point. And that's not necessarily what you have to do to be creative. Being creative means you use your creativity to actually illuminate the point more. And the script is the script that you wrote. I didn't give you a script. Her feedback specifically was, instead of saying, I learned, to say it as fact. I think it was a very good criticism, a very good option for you, and you wouldn't be penalized from saying, I learned, or this is what I believe or think, or this is what it is. I think your the key is, you will not be penalized for being creative if your creativity, in the name of creativity, you move from not using that creativity to illuminate your point, then you'd be penalized because now you're not illuminating your point. But you won't be penalized for using your creativity as long as that makes your point. So, great. Good feedback. Anybody else?
It was interesting it was nice presenting to another student, I guess, so we could see more closely what people were thinking about the presentation. Yeah, it was interesting.
Just so that you know, Sakili, when it comes to you can take interesting out of your vocabulary. Or if you say it, just know that it is a placeholder. When you tell me something is interesting, I have no idea what you mean. The question that should come to your mind that you will know that Babu Kessa will ask you is, how was it interesting? What was interesting about it? And then eventually you can just skip the interesting and just say, what was interesting about it? What did you like or didn't like about it? It was interesting says nothing, okay, in terms of information and fact, okay? I can say, oh, that's interesting, and it could mean that I didn't like it. I can say, oh, that's interesting, and it meant, Oh, that was just, you know, bomb. Okay, so to say it's interesting, just want you to know, and this is you getting used to it, you're new to Aya, but just want you to know that that one, Bob Wakesa will flag every time, okay? If you're in the habit of saying it, just know that what comes after that is, here's how it was interesting, here's what was interesting about it to me, okay?
Okay, so it was interesting to see people's presentations and then get the feedback. Well, I'll see Nina's presentation. And then me being able to give her feedback and her giving me feedback, that was more, like, I don't know.
What was interesting about it? What was interesting about it?
Because you don't usually we're presenting to the teacher, but now we're presenting to another student, and then you can see how the student thinks.
What did you like or not like about it? What was illuminating to you? What was different about it?
It was different because normally in my experience, you don't often present to the students. I mean, you do, you know, you stand up in front of the class.
Did you already said that? You already said that. Did you like it? Did you not like it? Did it allow you more expressiveness? Did you find yourself calmer? Did you find yourself more tense?
I guess it was calmer because it was another student instead of a teacher.
That's what you would say. You understand? Hold tight. That's what you would say, okay? The other stuff is beating around the bush, okay? I don't mean that you intend to do that. I mean, much of our speaking is the way we're trained to do it in this society is beating around the bush. So it would be something like, you know, one of the things that I liked about this was that it was calmer, or one of the things I noticed is by presenting to another student, it was more calm to me, or I was more calm. Because I was expecting to present to a teacher, and I was more calm presenting to another student. Now I learned something. To say it was interesting because I was presenting, I still don't know what it is. Okay? Do you understand? You see the difference?
Yes.
Great. All right. Anything else? Thoughts, feelings about your presentation, feedback, that experience? Okay? Here's what I want. For those of you who presented, I want you to say, what are the options that you have received? What did the person like about your presentation specifically? And what options did you receive from them? And what do you think about those options?
For me, from Sakini, I basically just got visual suggestions, like to watch the text. Some of my pictures so it doesn't blend in or anything. Also, to add, like, not to make it so serious and to kind of lighten it up a little bit.
Okay, so I heard two things that you said you got from her. One is to add some things like that she likes to add, cartoons and other things that not be so serious. And the other is to look at some of your text formatting. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right, so Keely, as you go along, you'll get stronger in your ability or your comfortableness with giving multiple options as well, and content options as well as stylistic options. All right, Nima, so what was your response? What is your response to those?
For me, as far as the text formatting, I can see what she's talking about. Wait, one second. Okay. And as far as the not making it so serious goes, I mean, I'm just that type of person that's what comes straight to the point when it's something that I'm not like particularly passionate about. I try to be straight and to the point and not elaborate on stuff too much. But I agree that I guess it could have been more, you know, less heavy, I guess. But, you know, I wouldn't, like, strive too hard to make it not, you know, straightforward.
Hold on. Great. One of the reasons we have you hear these as options, when someone is giving you feedback and it's a good idea to present it, you'll hear me say, if it were me sometimes, okay? And I like that more than I like criticisms, although I'll say that sometimes. But I really like if it were me, I like options. because they're just that. They're now some things are clearly just you know, whack out of the box if you misspell a word, if you something like that. But other things are stylistic, and hearing another person's options may provide me with something I didn't think about, and I could say, I can see that, and that may really work. Or it may be, well, I hear that as an option, and I wouldn't choose that. Okay, because saying if it were me, a lot of what our personality goes into it. So I don't want you to hear these as absolute shoulds, as you are giving feedback. And this is something that I want you to use among your peers, and as you grow in life, you will find that people will hear your feedback a lot better if you say what you like genuinely, and genuinely what options you might provide. Like if it were me, I might have, as opposed to you should have. Also, when you're receiving feedback, even if they don't say it like that, in the way that you're learning it, translate it in your head as that's an option for Wakessa, okay, when that's optional. Sometimes you'll hear from instructors and other things that are not optional, and they're just saying that's how they want it, and yes, so how you have to do it. At the same time, know that much of the feedback you get in life will be options, even though they may not present it that way. All right? Great. Others, please let me hear what feedback you received and your response to it.
I got the feedback that I should have
some. So I just heard one thing, Safi. Just to make sure I'm clear, that you, the feedback that you heard from Abdullah is that you need to have transitions. Is that correct? You didn't hear about your slides that don't have pictures were dull.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Okay, now let you understand, part of what I'm doing in this is I'm wanting to nurture your both skill at observing, given the assignment, at giving feedback, both what you like and what you would change, and your ability to really listen and take in the options. Okay, so it is significant that you forget about, that you don't write down, that you don't take in. Because whether or not you choose to use it or not, it's important that you hear that. And this is a part of the process of being able to say, okay, here are the things that I heard you say, Abdullah, about what would be options for me. Or if it were you, this is what you might do. And that way he knows you heard them. That way I know you heard them. That's a gauge for me that you are listening to each other carefully. All right, so it's a significant thing that just dropped out. Okay, and I want you to pay more attention to feedback that you get, even the slightest feedback that you get. Please pay attention to it. What did he say about your transitions or about your presentation such that they need transitions, Safiya? In his opinion, of course.
He said that he liked the transition that I had between the wild thing society particular. He said he liked that transition, and the other one, he felt like they weren't really transitions, but they were just like topics.
Okay. Great. All right, so now that I know that you understand his feedback to you, what is your response?
I mean, I felt like I had a slide between each to introduce the next topic, but I feel like that was a transition.
So you disagree with his assessment?
I mean, I don't disagree. I just think we have a different opinion. I guess that means I disagree. But it's not as harsh as, oh, I think you're wrong. It's just, I don't see that.
Good. That's a disagreement, okay? It's not an argument, not a bad thing. Disagreements can be small, it can be large. It's just important to know when you disagree. And here's the option, is to also then say, when you disagree with someone, that is when you don't see it like they see it, to ask them for more. Ask them for more information so that you really get us to see how they see it. You see, this is where you learn, Safia and others, but particularly you and Abdullah, both have this issue. So I definitely want both of you to hear this. When you hear someone gives you some feedback and you disagree with it, you don't see it, the first thing to do is to ask them how they see that. Because often your disagreement is you're not seeing through their eyes, okay? And before you move to defend how it is, what is your position, it's important to hear and try to understand. You don't ever have to agree with it, but you clearly want to understand how Abdullah experiences this as just throwing in topics and not transitions. Sometimes you might ask, so how would you, when you don't quite see it, it's like, how would you make a transition from this to that, or what might you do? And that gives a sense for you of how he might do it and how he and or other people might hear it. It also gives you options that you are open to use or not. If you only stick with, I heard what he said, I really don't see it that way, I'm moving forward, then you don't get the benefit of the collective. All right? Do you understand? Do both of you, particularly Abdullah and Safia, understand what I just said? So I want to see more of your asking for clarity and how the other person sees it. You don't ever have to buy it, okay? Asking to make sure that you understand. So what I'd like for you to do, Safia, so basically, I don't know if you where you when you came in, Abdullah, but in terms of back, but Safia repeated that one of your recommendations was that she have better transitions. Okay, you do understand what, Safia? Well, tell me then, give me an example of what he would be talking about, of what would be useful for him in terms of a transition that you say you already have or you have differently. Give me an example then, Safia, since you already understand where he's coming from. Tell me, and then Abdullah, what I want you to listen for is whether or not in this example that Safia is going to give of how you might do it if she gets it right, based on how you would do it. All right, Safia, go for it.
I mean, he wants, like, transitional statements. So, like, connecting all the topics to make it one, whole presentation. So instead of, like, the slides where I introduce the next topic, where, like, the slide where I said the World Bank, he would want something like, oh, and next is the World Bank, or... and Andrew Jackson had a fight about the bank, and now let's talk about the bank, or something like that.
Okay, all right, good. Let's check that out. Abdullah, is that what you were talking about?
Sure. I mean, my thing was just, look, I just said that we need some transition. I don't exactly have, like, any ideas of how you would do that, because I'll have to, like, read the essay and sit with it for a couple of hours before I think of an idea. But... all I know is there was needed some transition. So however you do that, I don't care if it's your way, my way.
Hold it. Now, when someone wants to understand what you mean, trust me, Safia certainly feels free to do it her way. Okay? What's important about this is that she understand what you specifically had in mind. Okay? And you don't have to have read the whole essay and know all of the examples that could be. And she gave an example based on my prompting of what you meant. And did what she said, would that satisfy what you were talking about? Yes or no? Did you mean more than that, or did that get it right on the money?
I mean, I don't know. All I said was that there needed to be some transition. I didn't really care, like...
Please don't repeat what you just said, man. We know that's what you said. Are you saying your answer is you don't know whether it will meet what you... I mean, if you don't have a criticism, then don't give it. If you have it, then be able to say, for example, what you're talking about. Okay? Now, I happen to agree with you. You know, so I'm not critical of you. I'm not critical of her either. I'm just saying you want to give help a person understand what you mean. And if they say, so give me an example of what you mean, Abdullah. If she would have said that when you said it, you would have said, I don't know, just whatever you think. Then your criticism is not helpful. And that's what is designed to be helpful. So can you think of an idea to an example of what you meant? And if you don't want to do that, then I'll ask her just to you know, forget it. Because you have a responsibility. If I said, hey, you know, I'd like for you to end with a conclusion, and somebody might say, well, I already got a conclusion, then I'll say, well, let me give you an example of what I would mean by conclusion. Aha, because there are many different ways. They thought they did a conclusion. I'm talking about a different kind, and I could give an example of that. So I'm asking you to give an example or to see whether the example she gave fits. Yes or no, or you want to withdraw your feedback?
I'll withdraw my feedback.
I'm sad that you did that. I hear it. I respect it. I won't ask you anymore. I'm personally sad that you did that. Okay, then you didn't have to do that. That is, but here's a responsibility. I was an editor for a magazine, Southern Exposure magazine, and I was cool. I was so glad I was be there, an editor, and somebody sent in an article, and I'm, all right, this is incorrect, this is not stated good, this is not stated good. And about midway in, one of the folks who've been there for years said, you know, we have a rule here, and that is if you take something out, then you recommend something to go in its place. I says, ooh. That made it a little tougher, okay? But it also made me better because I had to hear what the person was saying and then give some feedback that would make it, that in my sense, well, based on my thinking, better. And then when the editors came together, then we had recommendations and we could defend those recommendations and then we could then decide. So I'm not trying to have you remove it. I'm also have you not chicken out when I'm asking you go to the distance. If she's asking, you know, is this what you mean, so she can be clear, for you not to say, I don't know, I mean, then that's not cool. You do know. It's in your head. It's in your heart. And she could benefit from. So when you do that, either way, either when you just say, I withdraw my criticism, or when you just say, I don't know, I just wanted to do transitions, I don't care what kind, both of those are ways of withdrawing your feedback when a person wants to know in depth. Okay? And I want both of you, all of you in the class, but also particularly both of you, to start inquiring of the other person when you get feedback. Safiya's first was, I know where he's coming from. But she doesn't know where you're coming from because you haven't provided it. You gave him the whatever. She thinks she knows where you're coming from, but she doesn't know. All she has is a guess because you haven't specified, you know, where you're coming from. Okay? And it's much better for you both to start saying, here's what I mean, or here's an example. You're not putting a person down. You're giving an option. If it were you, this is what you would do, or for you, this is how it would be better. Y'all, this is important. Safiya, it's important for you to practice doing what you just did. Even if the person decides to do what Abdullah did and withdraw his criticism, okay? It's important for you not to assume that you already know, you know, when the person hasn't given you examples, for example, okay? And particularly when you catch yourself saying, I already did that. If I was on the shoe on the foot, when you give to him, it was you need a better conclusion. And if I thought I did a conclusion, then I want to know, okay, since I thought I did a conclusion or I got a conclusion and it didn't hit you in a way that would be a good conclusion, what might you have done differently? So that I get a better picture of what you mean. And as opposed to defending myself so quickly that says, well, I had a conclusion. Well, we've had different conclusions, but I had a conclusion. Like, wait a minute. I'm trying to benefit from your eyes, from your experience, from the way you take it in. And that's what I want both of you to do more of. Comprende? You got it? You understand? Both of you. Good. I want to concur, Safia, with his... I too had the same responses. Most of your slides, well, first, and this is just my sense of it, how it hit me. The brown with the other paper was just didn't do it, and the little seams around it. It just wasn't modern. It was distracting. I would have just preferred a different piece for me. The next is the slides where you don't have images are not just boring. Okay, they're not visually stimulating. The images, the words are not large. If you're just gonna have images, I would emphasize some of them if it were me. Your world-saving one is the image of the world-saving one. That's a great one. The next one is again just dull. And I guess I would make the images, the words bigger, or do something with it to spice that up a little bit. The placement of your images on some of your slides, I would change it differently. The Andrew Jackson one taking up the whole slide, I think it's a great idea. Okay, coming from behind that with this, his quote centered in the middle, I think also is great. Okay, and in terms of just, I'm just dealing with placement now. All right, please never use the image that you use on 27. Never ever use an image that has stuff on it saying shutter stock. Okay, I'm sorry. Don't do that, okay? With some other writing around the top, with, you know, just that you clearly that you stole the image from someplace, and we know you get an image from the internet, but you don't want to do that. I don't want you to do that, okay? And also make sure your images fit on the screen and don't go over it, all right? And I love your Forgotten Seminole images, excellent. Your Nat Turner images, excellent. Okay, mostly it's the ones where you didn't have images at all, and then I just encourage you to work with some of those if you're going to not have images, to use words and use the text in ways that make it visually exciting. And a couple of places where you have images to the far right, I would probably bring them up and not have them far right and down. And just have the writing to the left and the word to the right, or have it centered. All right. Do you understand what I mean by the visual pieces? Okay. The Obama hood image is a very compelling image, particularly because, of course, Obama's president, and it's, you know, dealing with that text, the red screw to pull. So I think it's fine. I have no problem with the images or the concept. I did not hear you, if you're going to have such a compelling image as that, it deserves some comment, okay, about it, okay, about him and it, okay? So, because it's a prominent image of him, and to just let it hang there and not say anything about it, if it were me, I would, you know, do that differently. Your Uncle Sam images is down and off the page. It needs to be pulled up, you know, so that your text could either be to the little to the left or something like that. Okay. Your images on taxes is with the people looking at the big word is effective. The others, okay, just watch that placement to the right there, to the far right. It's just kind of dull, You know, so just think about that in terms of image replacement. Now, that's enough as I'm going to say about the image. I agree with Abdullah also that not just transition, like transition words, okay, I don't see a connection between these things. Like, I don't see a connection between the story of Betty Towns and taxes, and between taxes and then World Savings. That seems to be a little bit out of place. It seems like Betty Towns and World Savings would go together without taxing in the middle. Give me a little feedback. What was your thinking about why you put taxing in the middle of both of those?
I didn't place them like that. I listed them in the way of how, what topics I was going to do, and then just did it like that.
Yes, that's what I mean. When you're making a presentation, you're telling a story. And it's important that the sequence of the story makes sense. Okay? To have me hear Betty Towns and then come back with World Savings is a, with taxes in the middle, you know, is like me telling the story and, you know, starting at the beginning, you know, and then skipping at the end and then bringing back the middle in it. It's disjointed. That's also what we mean in terms of how it's together. That's what I mean. I don't know what Abdullah meant. But it's not just your transition words, but also the flow of the presentation. I didn't get a sense of what's the connection between the World Bank, World Savings, excuse me, Herb Sandler and whatever, and Ithaca Hours. What is the connection? Tell me now.
Man, I don't really think there is a connection.
Right. You will need to make a connection. In the class, what was the connection? Why in one class, in the class where you get World Savings, do you also get Ithaca Hours? Anybody? I'm opening it up for anybody now.
Wait, to make sure that I answer the question, you're saying that what does Ithaca Hours have anything to do with your learning?
What does, in this class, Economic Conundrum, we presented Ithaca Hours, we presented the banks causing inflation and deflation, the banks' predatory lending, the banks foreclosing on property, we've talked about unemployment and housing, okay? Where does the whole notion of Ithaca Hours fit within the context of this whole discussion? Why? How are they related?
Ithaca Hours is basically like a way to have economic independence from the things that cause inflation and deflation, which causes people to lose their jobs and housing and stuff like that.
All right, that's what Abdullah says. Anybody else? What do you say? Do you agree with him, or do you have another statement? Safia says she doesn't see a connection. Nima, do you see a connection? Sakila, do you see a connection? Safia, are you changing your mind? Thank you, Abdullah. I hear your point.
Okay. Ithaca Hours also has something to do with the Revolutionary War, which was fought over community currency, and basically it's a way to be independent of the government and banks, which are causing most of the economic crisis. Almost the economic crises that are happening right now. So, yeah.
Okay, great.
Sakili. I see how, yeah, I agree with how the Revolutionary War is connected to the Ithaca Hours.
How are they connected to Ithaca Hours? How do you see that?
Well, I see it because during the Revolutionary War, some of the people, hold on. Okay, sorry, I got tangled in my head. Okay, so they also made their own homemade money, and the Ithaca Hours are also the people of Ithaca, New York's homemade currency.
Very good. Both of those are powerful connections. Abdullah, you're right on the money. Nima and Sakila, you're right on the money. That is, the Ithaca hours as a form of independent currency is presented as a solution, as an alternative. And it's also repeating something that happened at the founding of this country. Safia, do you understand what these connections that we're making? Do you see them? Do you agree with them? Talk, please. Do you see them? Do you agree with them?
I said yes.
I didn't hear it, okay. Then, what's the difference now? I mean, you didn't see it before. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, what's different. Because a minute ago you said you didn't. There was no connection. Now you heard them. So what's different?
I mean, I know that it's a solution, but, like, I just didn't consider that a connection. So, I mean, okay, that's a connection.
And that's what all of it needs to be connected in that way, okay? Part of what is important in terms of consuming the class is that it's not just, just things thrown in. There's this, and then there's this, and then there's this, and there's this. Yes, there are a lot of things because the economy is a puzzle. And I'm not going to present it, you know, in just some little cute, okay, you got this, and once you got this, you got the economy. You know, no, there are different key aspects of it, and there are many. And there are also different solutions. And what I expect is for you to make the connections and to make sure that your listener sees and hears the connections. Now, you may make connections that others don't. Nima and Sakili were making a connection that Abdullah wasn't making. I don't mean he didn't know that, but that's not what he said, and they didn't say his. That's part of the transitions. That's part of the linking it together. It's not just transitional words. Does that, okay, so and not just with Ithaca hours, with all of it, okay? Everything needs to be, is connected to everything. Now, one other piece, the part of what were we doing, it's an excellent contrast. Except for it's not while the banks were fighting. Actually, it wasn't the banks fighting, okay? It was the white folks fighting about the currency, okay? The banks weren't fighting each other, okay? Africans were rebelling, and we were fighting for, you see, while they were fighting for, and this is a transition, it's also a point of clarity. What were the white folks, common, everyday, or the political white folks fighting with the banks for? And then contrast that to what the Africans were fighting for. Okay? It's an excellent way to do that. And then that's fine that you have that contrast. The part on justice at home was very skimpy, very skimpy. So you wanna tighten that up a bit. Well, you don't have to, but it's just that was very skimpy. Okay. Did you read? And this is not just you. Where did you get that Justice at Home is stopping predatory lending? Any of you? Where did you get that?
I've heard you mention that like multiple times. And like when you read it, I got the sense that you guys were fighting that too.
I'm just asking where you got it from. But, you know, there's nothing in the documentation that says it's designed to stop predatory lending.
I thought you said you were fighting like predatory lenders and pretender lenders or something like that.
I might be fighting predatory lenders and pretender lenders, But that doesn't mean that's what I'm fighting, because that's not the only thing that they do. Did you read the documentation?
Yes, I read a couple times actually.
Then go to it and tell me, see, where, pray tell, do you find you and Safiya? Safiya, I see it looking at your presentation on slide 37. Where did you find that we were trying to stop predatory lending?
I don't think I read it in the documentation. I just thought that you had said that that's what you were writing.
Okay. It's a good idea to just get clear. Okay. Again, Safiya, you'll need to add more if you're going to represent it, just a little bit more about what it's actually doing. And Justice at Home is really not addressing loans that people are being given, predatory or not. The same people who are foreclosing were the predatory lenders. Okay, they were and are the pretender lenders. So it's the same people. So there's a connection, okay, but that's not the same thing. All right. And what's expected is that you know what the goals of this movement is. It says specifically what it does and doesn't do. All right, that's that. All right, I see. All right, what I want to also go over, it's 10:24, I mean it's 12:24, it's time for us to go. At 8:15 in the morning, I want to, with Nima and Sakili, I want to do the same thing that I've done here with Abdullah. Abdullah, there are, so just here, Safiya, I like the things that you put in. I also, your graphics need to be better, and your transitions, and tying them together, not just your transitions between subjects, but how the subjects tie together need to be done better. Now, I'm not saying you do it over. That's up to you. I'll give you a grade on what you presented, because today is when they're due. Okay? So you'll get that. And just as I did with the other pieces, I'll give you a time frame if you want to make it better. If you don't, you can accept what you have here. You know. So, and given that I'm out of time and I don't want to rush it, then I will start in the morning in a verbal way. I may give you feedback in a written way, since I have all your links, with your presentations. Look for those in the email from me. And Sakili, I got to go back in and redo your feedback. I don't know what happened to your exam. Well, I appreciate that you gave each other feedback and listened to each other. And I heard some of everybody's, not as much as I'd like, but I was trying to spread it around. I like that you were peers to each other and did peer review. And it's not just teacher review, but it's also peer review. Some of the feedback that you gave each other, and that you were willing to receive it. All right, this is a very important class in terms of how you give feedback and how do you take it in. So I don't want you to think that this is just a lesson that's blown away. A lot of your life will be about giving and receiving feedback. How well you do, manage your business, do well if you're hired with other companies, your skill at giving and receiving feedback, getting clarity through the process, is critical. With that, I want y'all to have a good lunch. You got your 30 minutes. Take care. See you. I'll alert Mama Fia that you're gonna be coming in at 1 o'clock. Okay. Okay. Please put in your links. Let me see what you have before I dismiss you to your 30-minute lunch. I'll alert Mama Fia that you'll be coming in late. You'll be coming in at 1, as opposed to 1:45. Please give me your link so that I can see your work. Well, I'm sorry.
I did mine on paper.
Then scan it in to me or fax it to me, please. And I'm sorry, I was not Mama Fear. It's Brother Balagun, I guess. All right, so would you give me... you got a fax machine, son, Kanata?
No.
All right, get it to me as fast as you can.
Okay.
All right, Allende. Let me see what you got. Okay, Allende, you got to really bear down. You see, these things should be taken, the major subjects. Okay, so what I'm looking here is, you got an Abraham Lincoln section, and what's your next section? Free silver, that's a part of that piece that you were supposed to do. Then justice at home. So I see three sections. Is that correct?
Yes.
See, so what you're doing now is you're going back and doing stuff that you should have done before. Right now, you should be pulling from your notes from each one of these things, okay? So that means you need a Justice at Home page with notes on it. And from that Justice at Home page, you choose the notes, the things that you're going to talk about in terms of Justice at Home, and you put them here. And from the Lincoln and all that whole page from the ZAT, you already have notes. You should, okay? And then you want to bring that over. Okay, now that you haven't done it, then do it, okay, because for example, in this class, I'm just rattling things off, we've talked about, you've gotten some things from Money is Debt. Give me three things that you learned from Money is Debt right now. It was a video that we watched and talked about. Allende, talk to me, son. I don't want to know, come on now, come on, give it to me.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And you can go to your notes page where you have the notes from that video, correct? Allende?
No.
Alright, write that down in the text chat. Alright, Kanata, where's your notes page from watching Money as Debt?
That's on paper.
Kanata, get your stuff off paper. I don't care if you start on paper, but I've already told you, you got to get it off paper and get it where I can see it. Do you understand that? Don't you remember me telling you that? Hello?
Yes, but didn't you tell me to do it on paper or computer?
No. If you do it on paper, then it's your job to get it online. I don't care how you get it, fan it, scan it, fax it, but you upload it, retype it. But I have to see it. So if you want to do it offline, then you do it. But then you have to, again, get it online so me and your classmates can see it. I want you to understand that. So everything that you've done, I need to be able to see. If you want to do the homework online, offline first and type it again, fine. If you want to scan it or get it up in some other kind of way, that's fine. But you cannot do this stuff in your notebook that I can't see. You are to watch that video, Allende. You are to generate not only your main points, but your questions. You and Kanata. The second video, Allende, is The Secret of Oz. Where are your notes? Don't give me silence, son. Talk to me. Oh, you typing. Okay, where are your notes? For your Secret of Oz. Don't just put video. You put the exact video I'm talking about. I don't want no junk. Okay, I want you to be clear and specific. That first video is Money as Debt. Type it. Okay, the second video is, and Kanata, you write in your notes if you're writing offline, The Secret of Oz. What do you have your notes page for that? All right. You do know, Allende, that at this point you are failing this class, correct? All right. Your dad told me I ain't to have no mercy. I'll work with you. I'll support you. But I'm not going to give you grades. Kanata, I'm not giving you grades either. Okay? I'll support you. I'll give you extra time. but I'm not going to give you grades, okay? And I'm not buying that y'all are too young or too slow or this is over your head, okay? You can leave that to some other school that thinks you're retarded, okay? I know you're brilliant. Where's your notes page, Kornata, from Mama Fears and my fight with RoboSigner Jeffrey Stefan?
That's on paper.
Pull it out. Pull it out. Read me what you have on your notes from paper right now.
I don't have it.
Why? You said it's on paper. Bring it up.
It's not with me.
Where is it? Where is it?
It's on the table. It's unattainable. I don't have it.
Where is it? I don't want to hear no big word like it's unattainable. Give me a break. I asked you, where is it?
I don't know where it is.
All right. So what does that mean to a teacher? When you say it's on a note, the teacher says, show it to me, and you says, I don't have it, don't know where it is. What does that mean to a teacher, Kornata? Kamal, are you there? It's okay, you don't have to be. Allende,
he's not.
Okay, so Allende, what does that mean to a teacher when the student says, I wrote it, but I don't have it, and I don't know where it is?
I'm as far as they know, you never did it.
Thank you very much. Okay. You don't get no credit for stuff that you did, but you can't produce and show. Okay? What of your notes, Kornata, that you say are on paper, do you have that you can read from?
I have my Secret of Oz notes. I have some notes from the History of Money. And I have an essay on the History of Money, and
give me your Secret of Oz notes. Let me hear it. Allende, pay attention, because you haven't done Secret of Oz notes.
Okay, so I have the creator of the Wizard of Oz knew about the future economic condition. While the economy gets back to their original condition, we will have a massive, massive recession. Our standard living sinks like a rock. Americans get robbed and don't know who robbed them.
Okay, hold on. What do they mean by that?
They get robbed. They get stuff taken away from them, but they don't notice that. They got it taken away from them, or they think everything is just perfectly fine, or they find out that they've been robbed, but they don't even know who caused it.
All right, who do they suggest in the Secret of Oz is robbing them or has robbed them?
I don't have that down.
Then I want you to learn, when you're taking notes, here's what you need to answer. Type both of you, and Kornata, type in the text chat. These are simple words. You can do it, okay? You too, Allende. Who, what, why, when, where, and how. Start typing. Who, what, why, when, where, and how. When you are listening to a video, you're listening for the who, okay? Who did what? When? How did they do it? Where did it happen? Okay? What time period? So to say Americans get taken so and so and so, but I ask you by whom and how, and you don't know, then you don't really understand what the video is talking about. That's the kind of notes I want you to take. Now, you have to stop it or come back or look at them and then look at it again or come and ask questions from class. But I don't expect you to have any notes on your page that you don't connect to other notes and that you don't make sense to you. You do not get points by just having lines on a page. Now, it's okay that when you're listening and you want to put lines on a page, then you might stop it and make sure that you understand the connections of those lines that you have on a page. Do you understand, Kanata?
Yes.
All right. When you don't make sure you understand, then they don't count. This is a school that measures your understanding. Okay? You may take notes to help your understanding. It also, I expect both of you to ask questions from your notes. You should have notes on, do you have notes on the 60-minute video on world savings? Both of you, answer. Do you know the video that I'm talking about, the name of it, or how to get to it?
Are you talking about the World of Trouble?
Yes, that's it. The World of Trouble. Your friend Allende doesn't know, so help him out. You don't have to do it now, but Allende, then you want to make sure you get from Kanata that video. You got to watch it. And you got to take notes. And you got to come to class and ask questions. Okay? What is... what is the connection between, or is there any connection at all, between Ithaca Hours? That's another video. Have you watched that, Allende? The video on Ithaca Hours. Type in the text chat your homework, son. You got plenty to do. And I want you to write this up, all that you are saying that you have not done that you have to do, and I want you to send it in an email to your dad, your mom, and me. Okay? That you have to review the video on Ithaca Hours. Do you know how to find that video, Allende? Kanata, do you have your notes on the Ithaca Hours video?
No.
See. Next question. I'm going to get you the link to the video. There was also a paper assigned called Making Our Own Sense. Have you read that paper, Allende and Kanata? All right. Where, Allende, are your notes from your reading that paper, Making Our Own Sense? All right. Very good, Allende. Kamau, do you have notes?
Are you talking to me or Kamau?
I'm sorry, Kanata. Please forgive me.
No.
Did you read the article, Kanata?
No. Did you give us the link for that? Or?
Oh, yes, I did. Just a minute. I'll give it to you again, son.
Were we here when you gave the link, when you gave that to us?
Yes, you were. I have your sister's paper on it. That second link is a link to Ithaca Hours. You'll see many other videos in there. Your job is to come to understand. You have Ife's paper, you have Ife's paper, which you have to read, and you also have that video link. There also is a bibliography that she includes. That I know you're smart enough as a student when you have a bibliography to check out some of the things in the bibliography, right? I know y'all don't have to be told to do that, right?
Right.
All right, that's the video that she included in her article. All right, so you see, when we're tying this stuff together, all right, what does conundrum mean? Kanata, look up what does conundrum mean, and Allende, I want you to look up what is economy, so we can put that together when we're talking about the economic conundrum.
Doesn't conundrum mean a puzzling condition or like a puzzling thing?
Very good. And what is economy? So what does the economic... Go ahead.
This is a definition that I looked up. From my understanding, economy is, let's see, some like a system of production and essay distribution.
Okay, so even if you went with a system of production, distribution, you might throw exchange in there, because, you know, if I'm buying an iPod, I haven't produced it, but there is an exchange. So in this system of exchange, that second link, incidentally, I just put there, is for part two of the Ithaca news. Part one and part two is one of the older videos, but it's a more comprehensive one. The economic conundrum is, what is the puzzle to help us understand this transfer of this exchange of productions, of money? This economy is a puzzle. It operates now in ways that don't help black people. Black people are at the bottom of the ladder. Okay, we were 100 years ago, and we make progress, and then we end up right back at the end of the ladder. So this is an economy that's a puzzle that we have to solve. And so there are different parts of this puzzle. In order for you to put a puzzle together, you got to observe the different parts, right? You got a puzzle on the table. You think you can just kind of just push them together and they're going to fit? Or do you think you have to study each part to see how they fit together? And so that's, each of these parts are parts of the puzzle designed to give you an understanding of it. Now, one part, the Ithaca hours, or is just an example of our of a currency, and making our own sense is adaptation of that, in terms of suggesting that we start our own currency as black people as a solution to some of the problems. But you got to know what some of the problems are, or else you really don't even know how they fit or might work as a solution. So that's how the Ithaca hours fit in this puzzle. The Ithaca hours are examples. We don't want Ithaca hours. That's Ithaca. But we may come up with our own currency, maybe called Garvey dollars, maybe called John Coltrane dollars. Who knows? But it's our own currency. But to know how that works, then here's how some people have applied that idea of their own currency. So you want to understand that as a part of a solution. But then you also want to understand the problem. And you got, you know, so, folks, this is not a class to just go to and turn in assignments, okay? Kanata, I need to see all your notes, son. I don't care how you get them to me. You can physically bring them over here and scan them here at the office, but I got to see them. If I don't see them, it means you haven't done them. I don't mean that you haven't. I mean that if I can't see it, then I don't know what you've done, and I can't give you feedback on that and stuff like that. So you got to know the different parts. Know them, study them just like you would a puzzle, so you know how they fit together. All right, folks, y'all got work to do. Y'all, I'm gonna be on you like ugly on an ape. I want y'all to also work as a team. I'm gonna get Tavon. I want y'all to. So this is a group. You, Kanata, Allende, Tavon. I'm gonna have it where y'all succeed together or you fail together, just like with the rights. So you gotta lift each other up. Kanata, you got to make sure that you understand that Allende understands. Allende, I got to understand that you understand and that Kanata and Tavon understand. Do y'all got it? Y'all can think of a name. You can think of a name for yourself over the weekend. Okay? You want to work on the weekends. You want to email each other, call each other on the phone, come to the conference room. You don't have to wait till I'm in here. Make arrangements in the conference room. Push each other. Y'all can separate. You read that part and then tell me what you got, and I read this part and tell me what you get. You can work collectively. You don't have to work by yourself. Just like in the rights, Allende, you learn to work collectively with brothers and depend on them. Also, I want the three of y'all to lift each other up. I'm going to put out right now, y'all are going to fail this class together or you're going to succeed together. And I expect you to do whatever y'all got to do to make sure that each one of you are passing this class, I mean, with flying colors, that you understand each part and how they fit together. Do you understand, both of you? All right. I'm out of here. Take care. Have a good day. And I am not pleased so far. Y'all got to tighten it up. As brothers, come up with a name for the three of you, of the group that y'all going to call yourselves. And call Tavon and let him know what's going on. All right? Bye.